to you from Cary, North Carolina, and Jackson, Michigan, it's the Get Options Podcast with your hosts, Adam Silver and Kyle Maurer. This is the show where your WordPress questions are given some serious and not so serious options. And here they are.
Why, hello, and welcome to episode 82 of the Function Get Options Podcast, the irreverent, fun advice show about your life with WordPress. I'm Adam Silver with my buddy, my compatriot, my pal up north, Mr. Kyle Maurer. Say hi, Kyle.
Hey, buddy from down south. How are you, Adam?
I am fantastic.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. I'm feeling upbeat and chipper because we're not recording this early in the morning while I'm still groggy.
Right. Yeah. It's a nice change of pace. It's the afternoon of the day we're doing this. We'll get to what you're drinking. I'm not as privileged, but still fun.
Mm-hmm. So what's been happening since the last time we recorded that maybe I don't know about?
You missed the last week's episode. You were traveling.
This is stuff I know.
Okay. More client work. Oh, no new domains. I have not bought a domain this year, and I've
Was that a New Year's resolution?
And I have not launched any ideas this month or this year just yet. So there.
How many have you renewed?
That's a good question. Technically,
Is it single digits?
Yes.
Is it
single digits? Yes. Okay. Yes. Okay. Less than 10 because Kitchen Sink actually came up renewal, I think today, technically, the day of the recording. I really do. And then Avalon's and Parker's came up. No, that was last month. So just like one or two tops, less than a handful, technically.
Sure, sure. So several per month would be about your average.
No, not true. Not true at all. I can tell you. I mean, I don't even own... How many domains do you own, Kyle?
I don't know. Probably five.
Really, that's it?
Probably. I mean, personally, yeah. Yeah, that's probably it.
Okay, well, all right. You got to start somewhere. I just, you know, in the last two or three years, I am waiting. Like, I just had one expire last week. And I was thinking about it today. I'm probably not going to renew it. I'm pretty sure. Maybe.
Okay. Well, I liked the last week's episode. Oh, I good. Did listen to it while I was on a jog today. And I enjoyed it. And Dustin is great. I love Dustin. He's super fun. I wouldn't be surprised if someday you just replace me altogether. Because he's great.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I didn't like that episode. I'm kidding. It was good. It was fun. We had a lot of fun.
I loved Dustin's answer to the first question when he talked about how you should evaluate every business's website, whether they're yeah. like the local restaurant or Target or Walmart. Everything. And that I found that to be so comical to think of critiquing the Walmart website as a new freelancer and trying to get their business. But Dustin's a funny guy, and that was fun.
He has his moments. He has his moments, as we all do. I mean, we all can't be as funny as you, Kyle.
All right.
Chuckle, chuckle, chuckle.
Chuckle, chuckle, chuckle.
What's new with you? What's new with you?
The other day was a big day for us. Mm. We finished, my wife and I finished a long, busy work day, and we sat down in the family room. And for the first time since we've been here, we went to use the fireplace.
Oh, my gosh.
We've never had a chance to use before. And so I lit a nice, beautiful fire and then discovered that the vent was not open.
Oh,
really?
No.
And so the house filled with smoke.
Sorry to laugh at that.
It still smells like smoke days later.
What's that called? Is it a vent? It's called is it the fluke?
The flu, yeah.
Flu, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, and there's like this wire that was like kind of rusted, and it was really hard to pull and open. I kind of broke it. Eventually, we got things working, but a lot of smoke. So then, after we got through that, we sat down, and we made a big decision that we've been talking about for months and months now. We finally put our money down and reserved a place to stay in a few months in Europe for a big trip.
Woohoo! Congratulations.
Yeah.
We need to get a sound effect that goes, woohoo! Something like that.
We should. Yeah. This needs to be more of a morning radio show.
Ayuga! Yeah. How about that?
Sure, that works.
Okay.
But cool. We're excited. We're going to go to Europe. I've never crossed an ocean before. I've been overseas at all. Neither has my wife or obviously our little daughter. And we're going to spend a whole month.
You didn't cross. Didn't you cross like the Gulf of Mexico to get or, you know, when you went to Costa Rica, like down that way? Did you you crossed water there? Sort of.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, but I know you haven't crossed the pond like an ocean.
Yeah. That's still the same continent.
Oh, true. True.
Yeah.
Oh, North America, anyway, Central America. Okay, yeah, I get it.
We're going to spend a month in Budapest.
Budapest. Yeah.
So I've also been discovering already that I think it's kind of good for me to share where I'm going, because I keep getting people hit me up and say, hey, I've been here, here's some suggestions and so on. So, you know, listeners, if you've ever been to Budapest or Hungary in general, or if you have friends there that I could maybe, like, you know, have coffee with, totally hit me up. Let me know.
Awesome.
I would love to know.
Can I meet you out there for like a coffee?
No.
Wow. No pause. That was awesome. Okay. Well, moving right along. Jeez.
This is the point at which we do talk about everything that's new.
Yeah, we have some news to share.
It's unbelievable. It's the biggest news that I've ever heard. I just don't believe this headline.
Which one?
I don't know. What is it again?
Oh, that one. Oh, there's only one thing. Oh, just two things. So yeah, in the news, first thing was that Matt Mummelweg did a post announcing some new leads on the marketing team for WordPress.make.org. Josepha Hayden is now the executive director of that team, and Yoast is going to be heading that up as well in a, I'm not sure the title that it was given, but, you know.
Yeah, Josepha will be the executive director of the project, like managing all contributor teams,
right?
Oh, and Yoast will be the head of the marketing team.
Okay.
The lead, or no, not the lead, the rep or something. There was some, I don't know,
confusion on words,
discourse about the correct label for their roles,
right? But cool, congratulations to them both, and I think there'll be some awesome things that come from that in the very near future. Also,
yeah, Brawley,
yeah, also in the news, I just added this and I'm going to mention it because I can.
Yes, you can.
I'm attending, and you are attending, WordCamp Dayton.
Oh, yeah. It's like big news. It's like not six, really. We always go.
Is it 6 weeks or so?
Something like that, yeah.
Six. So if you're going to be in Dayton, check us out.
Right. Say, if you're not going to be in Dayton, come to Dayton.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. So I'm looking for, and we'll see Dustin there. We may record a show together there, maybe in his studio again. That'd be a lot of fun. We should do that.
You remember how many good times we've had together in Dayton, Ohio?
Oh, my gosh. All 16.
It's been a lot of good times.
Yes. At least six. Maybe 16. Yeah. Okay.
Do you think we'll record another episode with Dustin?
It's a possibility.
We should.
Yeah.
We should. Yeah.
I should come to your house first. I come up first, and then we should drive down. We should do like Get Options podcast on the road, like a live.
That's a great idea.
On the road.
I've got cruise control in the car.
well, we can just sit in the back. Your wife can drive, and your daughter will just, you know, hang out in the car seat.
Right.
Anyway, so. So yeah, so like I said, WordCamp Dayton, we're excited to go, and we're going to be there, and hope to see you there. So there you go.
Yep.
Got some changes to talk about. You want to hit the first one? You want me to do it? Oh, wait. Hold on a second. I have you on mute by accident somehow. And you're back. Sorry.
Okay. The first change. Mr. Brian Bourne, formerly of Bourne Creative, is now doing business development at 10 Up.
Ooh, 10 Up. Interesting.
How cool is that? Very congratulations cool. to Brian Bourne and to 10 Up for this new amazing match.
And just FYI, Brian, his wife, Jennifer, who I know, you know as well, wrote a blog post about this on one of her websites. I linked to it in the show notes, so check it out if you want to hear the story behind it. Pretty interesting story, I thought, actually. So.
Oh, yeah.
Also in the news, I mean, in the changes, Corey Miller, our friend Corey Miller from CoreyMillerLovesCats.com or HatesCats.com. Remember that?
That's a deep cut now.
Yeah, it is. He is leaving Liquid Web. If those who may not remember or know, Liquid Web acquired iThemes, was it 6 months ago? Maybe a year ago?
Yeah,
6 months
summer.
To a year.
No, it was a year ago. Yeah.
Okay. So after he's now leaving Liquid Web to do more personal business development and coaching for small businesses and individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Also a blog post that he posted about, and I linked to that in show notes. And last but not least, you added this last one. Take it.
Yeah. Kate DeRosia, a friend of ours from Grand Rapids, who has been doing a variety of things in WordPress for the past few years, including some speaking and some writing, has started a freelance venture where she's doing copy editing for businesses. So
really
congratulations
cool.
to Kate and best of luck on her new entrepreneurial journey.
Nice. Very cool. So, okay. If you have any changes or you know anything that we missed, by all means, send it in. We'd like to help spread the word. All right.
What you wearing, what you reading, what you drinking now? What you wearing, what you reading, what you drinking now?
All right. I'm going first. Since you're still typing, I am wearing a WordCamp Dayton baseball shirt from, I'm not sure what year this was from. Hold on. Doesn't say. I think it was last year.
I think it was last year.
Okay. Yeah. And I'm drinking water because I don't drink nearly enough. But this water is brought to you by WP Engine. It's a pint glass from WP Engine, right?
Yeah. Aww.
It's actually fading off. I need a new one. So anyone out there listening from WP Engine, I need a new pint glass. And I'm reading a new book, Atomic Habits. I just came in, got it in the library yesterday. It's a hot book. James Clear. Looking forward to really diving into this weekend, actually. So you, what are you doing? What are you reading, wearing, drinking, all that stuff?
You could almost pronounce that Atomic Habits.
You could.
I am wearing a Guten Nerd t-shirt, kind of a play on the Gutenberg name. And there's like a silhouette, sort of a picture of like a bearded man.
Right. And wearing a beanie or something. It's funny. I get it.
It is kind of funny. And I think that maybe as a reference to like the Gutenberg
thing concept
that Matt was doing.
Yeah. Where did it come from? Where did you get it?
It's from Bluehost. It's from Bluehost.
Okay,
yeah,
just checking. Yeah, I'll just check it.
And I'm also wearing my WordPress slippers.
Oh, nice. From Ann Arbor? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm drinking a delicious Kestrel Goza beer from Sand Hills Brewing. Yeah, the best brewery in the country. And if you are interested in trying some Sand Hills Brewing beer, hit me up. Maybe I'll see if I can hook you up with it. It's delicious. We've got a lot of varieties. And check out sandhillsbrewing.com.
When you were on this work trip last week, it was work as an air quote. Right? How much work was had versus how much beer was had?
Well, if you consider the fact that drinking the beer is kind of part of the work.
Is it one-to-one? Was it like you do line of code or you do with marketing an analysis and you drink and you take a shot or something?
I had my share.
Okay.
I drank more beer than I do in a normal week.
Yeah. Did you
by probably like 25x?
Did you? Wow. did you come home back with like the freshman 15?
Yeah. I did bring some home because it's so good. It's so good. But I'm eager to share. Awesome. And I'll bring some to Dayton, I think.
Yeah. Cool.
Anyway, so that's delicious. I'm also reading right now Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, book 4 in the series.
Wow, you're jamming on these books.
That's right.
You are. You're trying to just step it up, keep up. That's awesome.
That's every time Ashley sees me reading them, she's like, "What's Adam going to say in the next show?"
That's awesome. That's awesome. All right. So, hey, Kyle, guess what?
I think it's time to get Dustin back on because he's way better at this than me.
Did you notice that last time I asked him, like I said, hey, Kyle, instead of hey, Dustin?
I did notice. That was pretty quite fun.
So, no, it's not. It's actually this. It's questions time. That's right. You sent them in. We read them. We researched them. And now it's time to give you some options. Are you ready, Kyle? Are you ready, Kyle? Is it Kyle or is it Dustin? Who's here? I don't know where I'm at. What day is today? Get off my lawn. That's awesome. You're reading the calories on that can? Yeah. Okay. So you want to ask that first one?
Have you ever had a Goza before?
No.
A beer? It's one of my favorite styles.
Interesting.
Kind of tart with like a little salt in it. Like it usually has like sea salt and soured with this one has coriander in it. Wheat based, I think is common. But I find it to be quite delicious and refreshing.
I had a beer last night. I met with the F3 guys. We did the second F. And we met over at our local Whole Foods.
Failure?
Whole Foods has a beer tap in the back, $2 pints in the Thursday nights between the hours of like 5 to 7. So we had a couple. I had a pint. It was also really good, really good. I'm trying to remember that it was a stout, but I can't remember the name of which one it was. I meant to.
You really gravitate towards those. I do. Darker, richer beers.
Yeah. Yep. So, all right, ask that question.
The first question comes to us from Paul. He doesn't have a last name, so maybe I'm just assuming he doesn't have one. Maybe this is St. Paul.
Sure, go with that.
From the Bible?
Yeah.
When it comes to retainer-based clients, specifically maintenance, what are some options to handle non-payment or really late payments each and every month? Thank you, Paul, for the great question.
Great question. And it's ironic. I mean, I've actually literally just have gone through this issue recently over on my agency side of things. And so I'll give you the first option. And I think Kyle's going to love this first option.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Don't take client work.
Love it. Love it. We're done. Next question.
I can give one more option. I'll give my other option.
It won't be as good.
I have two more, but I'll add the second one. Get the last four digits of their social security number, mother's maiden name, and date of birth. Just protect yourself.
You know, that's funny that you say that. Okay, so here's my first answer.
Okay.
Clients, they don't pay because they don't feel that urgency. Now, what you need to do, along the lines of what Adam was saying, you need them to be terrified of missing their payment due date. That needs to strike fear in their hearts. So just one creative idea for that would be to author a fictional, highly scandalous story about the client and their business. Maybe get inspiration from some of those clickbait engines and fringe quote news sources. Make it a detailed report about how this client supports poaching endangered species and raising prices for dentures or eliminating handrails or they're funding a Guns for Little Ones program which gives children firearms or they hate Australians or and so on. Something that's totally fictitious but quite scandalous. So author this article.
Yes.
And then set up an automatic email which goes to the client 7 days before their payment date, saying that if the payment is not received exactly on time, this article will be sent to all local news outlets and published on your own anonymous local news blog.
Wow.
Then you can up the stakes 3 days before by adding a photoshopped picture of them posing with like a dead kangaroo or high-fiving Ted Nugent or parking in a handicapped space or watching Keeping Up with the Kardashians or something like that. Warn them that this image will also be posted and will become a viral meme within 24 hours of any late payment. Wow. That will strike terror in their hearts and get every payment on time.
Wow. I mean, between mine and yours, I think that's a slam dunk for Paul.
I kind of think it is. You're welcome, Paul.
You're welcome.
He's sitting there like so thankful.
Yeah. And my third option is possibly, because I literally, like I said, I have just gone through this. And after, you know, 20 days of not hearing back from a client whose monies were due on the first, I got the email saying, hey, I'm actually, because of the website that we built for him and taking care of it for him, he had landed a full-time job as a writer. So he has no time left to
write checks,
to blog, doesn't need the site anymore.
Oh, okay.
So that said, I'm actually going to start putting in a late fee in my contract or in that policy. You know, I'm thinking either like a 10-day late fee. If it's past 10 days, you know, it's late fee and it goes up. That's not to say that they won't still not, they may not pay. I mean, technically, I do have a 30-day notice, like it's supposed to give me 30 days notice, but is it worth the hassle? Yeah. I think moving forward, you know, it adds up. So I'm going to put in a late fee. I'm going to put in the whole 30-day. I'm going to hold them to it, like, you know, 30-day notice, make sure they sign off on that. And obviously, I have a couple clients all the clients are billed on the first of the month, but they don't all pay. They're not all automatically charged because that was an option. I may force that option, like, hey, a credit card has to be on file. And if you want to cancel, you need to cancel 30 days out, and I'll turn it off, you know. Because I'm, you know, for the last 18 days or 20 days when it happened last month or this month, the issue really is I'm still providing the service. Mm-hmm. I'm still doing the updates and the maintenance and the, you know, and the backups and all those things. So it's not real fair technically. So that's my opinion. So like I said, put a policy in place, late fee, and additionally really get them off of making a manual payment. That would help.
Yeah, one of my answers is that a subscription is a no-brainer. If I were doing this and my money was made from retainer clients or from maintenance and that sort of thing, there is no way, not a chance in heck that I would even consider the possibility of chasing that money every month.
Yeah.
I would absolutely, without question, require all clients to purchase a subscription where the money is collected automatically with no manual intervention by either party every single pay period.
So let me ask you this, though.
I'm pretty firm about.
And it's a great idea. I mean, I have another client, same thing. We actually host two sites for them. We take care of everything. They pay also relatively late on my side of things, consistently late. The question is, how do I now, you know, this is, I mean, Paul's question is on target, and this is, it's ironic. How would you recommend me to go out to that client and say, hey, look, you know, I need to put you on the subscription model because they're always late. You know, do I just say as of February 1st or as of March 1st, all clients need to sit and pay for, you know, be on subscription, auto pay?
Yeah, that's probably what I would do. I would not call out any specific client. I would not say this is about you. I would probably even say to many of them, you know, like, I do trust you to pay your bills. This has nothing to do with you, but I am changing my company policy because I don't want to spend any time chasing money from any client. It works a lot better for me, and I think it'll save hassle for you as well.
Right.
So this is going to be a new strict policy. All payments are made via a subscription.
And what if they? But what if they balk and bail?
Sorry, okay. Bummer. That's how I would run my business today. Yeah. I think it's that important that you waste no time and don't wait for them. That causes a lot of problems for every party involved.
There's a couple other things
that I would consider. One kind of related, you can tell them that you will consider payment chasing to be billable time. So anytime you are spent writing an email to them to remind them or talking with them about it, or just any time that goes into trying to get payment or trying to figure out whether the work has been done and so on, all of that like is still billable time and will affect future payments. You can consider that sort of thing. One maybe potentially creative idea would be to adjust your pricing model so that more is collected upfront and less ongoing, is a way of kind of reducing the burden and impact of the monthly transactions. So you could say, instead of charging $100 a month, so that you would, a customer would be paying you $1,200 a year, you could charge $650 in the first month, and then the rest of the months are $50 a month. So that's a lot cheaper and more palatable for the customer. Mm-hmm. You get more money up front. They're less likely to bail and balk at those continued purchases and so on.
But here's a devil's advocate, or here's a little softball. Not a softball. Here's a curveball, actually, is the best way to say it. If you are charging $100 a month and the maintenance plan comes with X number of jobs per month that don't roll over, but now you say you're going to charge $650 for the first month, are they going to expect to get 6 months worth of jobs at their beck and call each, you know, I mean, moving forward, or do they still get the two per month? You know, I guess you have to make sure that's clear, right?
Yeah, I think that's the burden's just on you to communicate. This is how it works. Right. It averages out to $100 a month over the course of the year, but because of the way I run my business and you know, the amount of work that I have to do initially to structure our projects or time together or something, I have to collect more upfront. Just the way it works.
Here's a thought, you know, as a renter, I could always go, or people could, or Paul could do the same thing. You could do, I want first, you know, if it's month to month, there's no contract, right? I mean, obviously, mm-hmm. a lot of times with the year, people do the prepayment for the year, they pay for 12, you're getting the 13th month free, or you get 20% off. Very common.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You could do first, just say, hey, it's month to month, but I need first and last months. So mm-hmm. when you're ready, when you want to be done, you know, that way you have that, you know, you give me 30 days and we're good. You've paid that last month.
Yeah. I like things that reduce those later payments so you don't have to chase them.
Right.
And this is how I eventually, after years of pricing projects and doing project work for clients at the agency, I kept adjusting my pricing so that the initial payments were much bigger. Those kept getting bigger and bigger, and the later payments kept getting smaller and smaller.
Right.
Because I knew that I want projects to get finished. Mm-hmm. And in the early days, I was doing kind of close to the opposite, where there was this big looming payment at the end, and the customer has this feeling like, when I pay that, we're done. So I really want to make sure everything is perfect before I pay that right. final bill.
Right.
And so that's like this giant looming scary burden for them, and you're just trying to dot your I's and cross all your T's and convince them to finally pay it. Whereas if it's much smaller and most of the money's already been paid, they're much more willing to just say, all right, I'll pay that, you know, the last bill. I'll take care of it.
It's true. You know, currently now, and I just had this conversation with a friend of mine actually about a week ago, asked how I set up payments. So now we take 50% to start the project. When they see, when the client gets to see the build, like the round one of the build on a staging server, 40% is due. And then we make the final change. We make the whatever changes we need to make, ideally that are at this point pretty much minor. Mm-hmm. And then when we are done, not when the site goes live, but once we are done and signed off, usually that's pretty quick, within a week or two tops, you know, then the final 10% is due. Same thing.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and it's
I like that.
And I took out the language when the site goes live, because they may not be ready to go live. Maybe they have server issues, whatever it may be. If I'm not the host, if I'm not in charge of that, we're done. I should be paid for that, you know, for the work done. If they move over to us to maintenance, that's a separate story. We set that up as well. Once it goes live, that's when maintenance mm-hmm. starts. But you're right. I'm going to take your suggestion to heart, for myself at least, and maybe Paul will too. Not just the late fee aspect, but I'm going to really put in, I think I'm going to go first and last months, and then put everybody at a bare minimum. Mm-hmm. And then from moving forward, put everybody on a mandatory subscription fee. Or if they want a window, I could make it's more expensive. Instead of 100 a month, maybe it's 125. I mean, there's always that.
Thought. I mean, yeah. Up to you. Yeah. Up to you.
Anyway, okay.
I guess.
I think we've done well.
I would also probably send automated renewal email reminders.
Yeah, that does it. I use FreshBooks, and that's very common. Yeah.
Yeah. These should be automatic. It shouldn't require you to go do that and just and I maybe would send one informing them that a payment has been missed. And if that's the case, you know, like reiterate whatever your agreement is. Mm-hmm. So it could say, you know, payment has been missed and I have moved on to another project. So you could say something like that, like tell them what the consequences now are. Now you are inactive and returning, like reactivating is subject to your availability because you've moved on to other work.
Right. And that brings up the point. I mean, I have a dormancy clause in my contracts for bigger projects. If the client goes quiet, goes dark for 21 days, so 3 weeks, if I don't hear anything from them, they go to the back burner. And to restart the project, there's a fee, which I have them initial. It's a $350 fee from my perspective, because I had this happen to me, you know, years ago. And then by the time they came back a year later, everything had changed. You know, everything had changed. So they're like, okay, we're ready to go live. Can we get the site done in a week? Well, no, there's a fee here, you know, and there's a reevaluation and a potential walking away. You know, like I may not want to keep you as a client at this point, a year later or 6 weeks later or whatever it may be. So. You're smart. All right.
You just got to train your clients.
Yeah,
you
know? That's it.
Clients are like children. You know, they will do what you train them to do always.
Okay. All right. This next question is one of the questions from WordCamp Jackson that you would put out a piece of paper. What is a topic that is confusing you and has not been explained yet in a way that you understand? This was sent in by Kim Smith. She answers the question with hooks and loops and taxonomies. Okay. All so right. I'll address this in a way, and then we'll go back and forth on this a little bit, as we mentioned before we hit record. So hooks and loops, I mean, I get all that. I've used them all now. I totally understand that. When I started WordPress, I had no idea what any of that meant, right?
Neither did I.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's one of the things, and you don't know what they mean until you need them, until you need to learn what they do and how they work. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Taxonomies, I get mostly now. I mean, I get all of it when I need it, but, you know, I always go back to the codex if I need to. But taxonomies, the way I use them, is I explain them as that a post can have a category and tag. Pages by default don't. There's a plugin that you can do that with pages. I've always used taxonomies and explained them this way. When you do a custom post type, because you want something content on a page or a post that's not part of default WordPress content generation, like a post or page. So you want a custom post type, the taxonomy is attached to those. So it's almost like adding a category tag to a custom post type. And I know we were talking about this before we hit record. You said, actually, how did you word it? You said, actually, taxonomies can be attached to any post type.
That's correct.
Right. Yeah. Which I didn't realize. So seriously, I learned. Yeah. And so I'm done for the day. I've learned something new. I'm out. So my kids always say, what did you learn today? I'm like, now I can say, Kyle taught me something today. So, you know. Yeah. Yeah. So, but in essence, what I use, I'll use like pods or we'll use ACF, but you know, but for custom post types, we use pods. We'll add a taxonomy. So there's a way to add additional reference and material to that content.
Right.
Which is built in by default to posts, right? Via categories and tags. So.
usually when we if we talk about this at a WordPress meetup, which we've had this conversation probably 100 times, where somebody we're having to clear it up, giving a handful of examples makes it kind of clear.
Okay.
Though it is a concept with it, which is a little abstract. Though right. I think everybody gets it after you
do it.
After you give a few examples, mm-hmm. Categories and tags are taxonomies. Those are the ones that are built into WordPress already. I can't think of any others that exist in core WordPress by default. Any others that exist are added by a plugin or your own custom code. Mm-hmm. And they're just there for grouping entries in some way. When you want to categorize in some fashion a group of some kind of a post type. Mm-hmm. And that could even be pages or something built into default WordPress. And, a lot of sites that we made years ago would have like a staff directory. So we would make a post type called staff.
Right.
And every entry in that post type is a person.
Mm-hmm.
And so it could be Adam Silver, director of, cheese cutting at Kitchen Sink WP. Hmm. And and we would say, well, we need to be able to group the staff based on their department. And so we would make a taxonomy called department, and then every staff member, every entry gets assigned a specific department. And that could be, like the podcasting department or the executive department and so on. So those are terms is what we'd call them in that taxonomy.
Right. Makes sense. Okay. So let me ask you this. So why don't you jump over to loops or the loop? Because it's not loops, isn't it? Well, I guess it is plural.
Do you remember at Columbus years ago when I had to do that loop presentation in the big room? It didn't go so well. And I was trying to do like some live demo.
I don't think I was there.
I think you were there. You just probably blocked it out because it was so painful.
So it's
horrible.
So explain the loop, if you will. Because if I'm not mistaken, there is the loop and there's also loops.
Yeah. Loops are processes which repeat for every entry in an array. Mm-hmm. Like you take a list of items, say posts or products or users, whatever it is. You want to list each one of them on a page in a certain format. You can picture this. I want all my posts to be listed in this grid where the featured image shows and then the title and it links to the entry and then there's a little excerpt. I want them all to look like that. The code must first retrieve the list of items from the database, and then the loop is the process which runs through that list of items and does the same thing for each one.
Right.
So it loops over the array and gets the first one and then formats it the way you want and displays it on the page, and then gets the second entry and formats it the way you want it and displays it on the page, and so on. So that's a loop is a process mm-hmm. of repeating over a list of items. Right.
And I remember I used to use LoopBuddy. Do you remember LoopBuddy?
LoopBuddy. Was that an iThemes plugin?
It was an iThemes plugin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yep. Yeah.
That's... I used to use MiniLoops.
Okay.
Which was a free plugin on .org that really taught me a lot about how queries and loops work.
I remember looking at LoopBuddy, thinking this is brilliant. Saw a video by our friend Nathan Ingram. Actually did a video about how to use it. And it was awesome. It blew my mind. Like, this is brilliant. And that's kind of when you start diving into that development side of things. Yeah.
Right.
And then lastly, hooks.
Hooks. Yeah. Those are functions mm-hmm. embedded in a code base or in like a WordPress code base, which check for what they do is they check for new additions or modifications to their procedure before running. So when anything is run, like a page is loaded in your WordPress site, in your WordPress, as Dustin was trying to get us to say in the last episode.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah. Thanks, Dustin. I did listen. So in your WordPress, when the code is running, it's going line by line and going through every function necessary to output the page and all the logic for determining what shows and stuff. And when it gets to a function, which is a hook, that hook will have a name, and WordPress checks to see if anything else running, like other plugins, for example, or other code in WordPress or code in your theme, has additional functionality which needs to run when that hook gets run. So you can say in my plugin, I'm going to write a function that changes something or adds additional text. And I want this code to run on a certain hook. So maybe one example is I could say I want an emoji to appear after the title or before the title of every post, a very specific emoji. So in my plugin, I write the, you know, echo this string, like it's the emoji character. And I want this function to run on the hook for the title, like get the title. I'm assuming there's a hook there. I know there is a hook there, and I'm pretty sure it's called the title or get the title. And so that means when WordPress runs and WordPress goes to get the title, it checks that hook for any new additional items that need to be added at that time. And so then it's going to find my plugin and say, oh, Kyle's plugin has a string of text that needs to be displayed when this hook is called. Mm-hmm. So we'll throw that into the mix, and then we will proceed with the rest of the code.
Right. Yeah. And it's one of those things, again, once you see it a couple times, and once you do it a couple times, or more than a couple times, it becomes, you can't unknow it. It's weird.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's all three of these, you know, the hooks, the loops, and, you know, as well as the taxonomies, they are a bit on the abstract. If you've never really had to think about it, if you're just a content, I'm going to say just, if you're blogging, if you're not really ever diving anything deeper, it's one of those things that you'll never know.
Right.
But once you do start doing once you start doing customizations and modifications of core code, if you will, you dive into these things, you know, and it's at time learning. So.
And it's so powerful. These are really amazing. Once I discovered like what hooks could do, I was just, my eyes were open and I started to realize like, this is why people love it. This is why people use WordPress. This is why there are so many cool plugins and so many passionate people about the platform. It's because of the hooks. It's so cool.
Right.
Because I mean, I was a dumb, like just hacker, just like poking away at the code and just had this, I guess, very logical assumption that like, if I want to change something in the code, I have to find where the code for that thing is and just change that, which would have meant, you know, like go, if there's a plugin I'm using that I don't like how it works, I would have to go into the plugin and edit the plugin and change the, you know, the query or the output and so forth.
Yeah.
But then I discovered that like, no, you don't actually have to go and edit the things to change them. You can do it separately. You can make your own plugin and just write code that modifies it through hooks.
Right. It's pretty cool.
It's beautiful.
So you miss doing client work now.
No. I don't get your train of thought here.
Okay. At all. All right. Well, let's loop back around now. No, I'm kidding. All right. So there you go. I hope that answers the question a little bit for you, Kim. If you hear this, you want to ask more questions, by all means, let us know. Okay.
Yeah.
So we are going to move on to our segment. And this is a new segment. And interesting. We'll see how this goes.
We will.
I'm a little nervous. I'm a little nervous.
Don't worry so much. Our listeners are hooked.
Oh, I see what you did there.
And they're going to stick around for this.
Yeah. All right. So this is called Get Meta. You like that? Everything that I don't have a sound effect for is, you know, that voice.
Yeah, just your deep voice.
My deep voice. Anyway, so do you want to explain what this is? Why we're calling it Get Meta? And it won't be like very often. This might be every 6 months.
Right. This segment is going to only interest those select few of listeners who just really care about this show, I guess.
Everybody. Everyone's going to care.
So this will interest all of you.
Okay.
Yes. The point of this segment is for us to just talk about this show.
Right.
That's why it's called Get Meta, because we're on the show talking about the show.
Yeah.
So I'm grabbing my beer and we're kicking back, and this is going to be,
okay,
I don't know,
so
kind of weird.
And I'm going to open this up a little bit, because you put in your thoughts and I wanted to, you know, since it was your idea to do this, and I was kind of hesitant, but then I'm like, I'm open to it because we are partners in this. So let's start off with, like, you know, number one, like, why do we even do this, right? That's like your first thought was the question. And it's a question. Why are we doing this? And for those who are newer listeners who may not know us well or didn't listen, you know, 80 episodes back or, you know, 81 episodes back, the reason and how this started, you know, if I recall correctly, we would just chat daily or every couple of days just about stuff, have a good time about it, you know, and then I think maybe even Ashley or, you know, somebody said, you guys should just record this and put a podcast out. So we thought about it for a while, and the more we thought about it, like, okay, sure. And we did. And then it definitely changed over time. And it, the first 15, 20 episodes were not what they are now. Like it's a different show than it started off as.
Right. For sure. Don't listen to them ever.
Okay. You know, in the second thing here that you mentioned, so why do we do this? And we obviously don't make money from the show. We don't promote it. It doesn't promote our businesses respectively. I mean, yeah, I'm not doing, I don't know. So my take on this is this, my answer to your question, technically, I'll start with this one. I like doing the show because I have fun with it. It's kind of, I feel like it's a nice outlet. We're silly. We answer questions in a fun way. And I mean, and people who know, when I explain to people what the show is about, I always tell you, it's Click and Clack. They're car guys from WGBH, I think up in Boston originally. Mm-hmm. These two guys that were master mechanics, and they would just knew everything about cars. And they would answer the question in a pithy, ironic, funny way. Like, you know, my 1997 Toyota Tercel makes a weird noise when I turn left. What do I do? And they would answer, don't turn left, you know, before they gave a true answer. Like, it's the CV boot, or it's you know, the hydraulic jack, whatever it was. They'd have fun with it. You know, at the question's expense, right? But in a loving way, you know, and then they'd give a better answer. That's how the show came to be, per se.
Sure. Right? Yeah, we always liked that.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't do it. I'm not expecting to make a living off of this show. We've gotten some, you know, so we'll get to the money aspect in a second. For a long time, I will say duration. So when we first started, I'll just kind of spin this in here, in the aspect here. I'll wait for that, about the wrestling. We'll get to the second wrestle part, number three.
So sure.
What else? How else do you want to approach this?
Well, I was hoping to just like chat about it. Honestly, like this is where we relax a little bit and just share. Maybe we end up arguing by the end of this.
Okay.
There's been times where we kind of argue a little bit about the show. But
so I'm going to mention this. Okay. So I think early in the show, I'll start with my last little comment here because I wrote some outline for myself. Early in the show, when we first started, some of the comments you gave me, I took way too personally. Like you would tell me something offline. About the audio.
Something I think we could do better or something to that effect?
Well, I think a couple of things. I think you prepped a lot more than I did early on. Because I feel like I had a pretty good take on being what I do for the show, like the things I do as far as my voice goes, as far as my interaction. You had the technical chops. I had more of the comedy chops, I think, you know. So I did that. So I would just show up and just not wing it 100%, but I would just not do as much depth prep. And I think that, you didn't like that. And B, your comments offline indicated that. And not only that, but I took them really personally, as far, especially like audio quality, certain little things like that. And that really upset me. I'm not going to say it pissed me off. I took it personally because I feel like I did put in a ton of work in post.
Oh, sure.
So without, you didn't realize that part of it because you don't do any of that stuff, that part of it. That said, I fixed the audio problems by sending you a new microphone.
I'm very thankful.
6 months later, you know, whatever it was. I said, you know what? I'm just going to say, here you go. And Ellen even said, it's like, don't get upset at him for the audio. Just send him a new mic. I'm like, she's like, how much is it? I'm like, it's $50. She's like, send him a mic right now. She made me go to Amazon, buy it, and send it to you.
Thank you, Ellen.
Right? So, you know, yeah. I mean, since the first shows, and also the other thing I was going to say was my initial take on the show was I really wanted to be very concise and rigid, I guess. I wanted to be boom, 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 in and out, 30 minutes. And I lost that battle pretty quickly. And once I accepted that, I totally accept the fact that the show is 45 minutes to an hour. You know, right now we're at the 44-minute mark, approximately. I keep track of it. But I let us go because I realized that constraint was not working for us. It really wasn't.
Sure. Gotcha.
You were like, what, you know, I was cutting you off, you know. For those who don't know, we watch it. We see each other via Skype. You know, we just use the audio. So initially I wanted 30 minutes. It's not 30 minutes. It's a 45-minute to an hour show. That's fine. The audio quality, I think, has gotten a lot better. I think I have also taken the approach of really preparing a lot more than from the first, let's say, 25 episodes. From that point on, I made a conscious decision. You know, okay, I see one of the things, what you had said resonated. I'm like, okay, so I can do my part by better preparing, you know, so.
Sure. Yeah. I appreciate that. And like we've it's been weird doing this together, but a lot of fun. And I feel the same way. Like the reason I do this is because I have fun with it. Obviously, it doesn't promote our businesses at all. We don't make money from doing this, like enough to maybe cover the costs, but we don't work that hard on making money with
right.
it.
Right. We haven't pushed. Well, see, that's the thing also. Initially, you were really adamant about trying to monetize early. I will be completely honest about it. My take on it is you wanted to monetize. I didn't want to for the first 100 episodes. And this is episode 82, so in theory, we shouldn't have monetized at all, in my opinion, because I wanted to build an audience. I wanted to build that trust. But we reached out. We got some sponsors. We've done okay with it. We've covered the hosting, finally, you know, as of the end of last year. So I got reimbursed for the hosting, paying that Libsyn bill. And we've made a little bit of money. I think maybe, you know, whatever. We haven't made much, you know.
Yeah. Hardly anything.
Right.
Relative to the time that we put in.
Oh, for sure.
But it's just for fun. So like I'll keep doing this as long as it's still fun.
Right. I will tell you this, since this is meta, and I want to pull back, so I'm going to be completely honest and transparent here. I have two times, well, let me say, said to myself, if Kyle says X, Y, or Z again, like a third strike, and I might be done. Never told you this. I told Ellen this.
Really? You didn't? Yeah, no, you didn't tell me that.
Right. You have a couple times come across, you know, talked about the show, about like this type of stuff, but not with a beer in hand per se, and not, you know, I think just more of like you're really trying to be protective. This is, you know, a thing that we mentioned about your time, especially now, because, you know, you transitioned from the agency to Sandhills, became a dad. Your time is limited, and because we're in different places in life, so a time commitment also is different. It's hard to schedule. I think one of the things we do have an issue with sometimes is scheduling, because there's two of us. I have a lot more flexibility. My kids are teenagers. I would love to have it be consistent every week. We've missed, we've done the show now for what? Is it 2 years technically?
Yeah.
But we only have 82 episodes.
Yeah.
Right? Because we weren't consistent for a while.
Right.
And that frustrated me to no end. Because to me, that's the thing. It's like, I want the So I pitched at one point, let's go every 2 weeks. Let's, you know, and you're like, no, let's do weekly. I'm like, okay, I'm willing, but you weren't always available.
Sure.
You know.
That's fair.
So.
Yeah. That's fair.
So, you know, yeah. But, and then sponsors and, or, you know, then we talked recently about the sponsorship aspect or Patreon.
Right. We have suggested some ideas of like how we might monetize in other ways if we want to do that. And I'm curious. I know asking for feedback, we won't get any probably.
I think this time we actually will.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if anybody has feedback, I'm curious. Like, you know, should we work harder on getting sponsors? We've had a few and they gave us good feedback too. But it just takes work to get them. And we're already just focusing our energies more on the show itself than on outreach and stuff. And there are other ideas. Like we could have, I don't know, like a premium membership or something for like exclusive content or some sort of fun thing. We have ideas that are a little bit creative and goofy, or
swag,
or Patreon to just like people give a few dollars to support a show. A lot of shows do that sort of thing.
I mean, that would be, I think, potentially a really interesting opportunity. I mean, it's not hard to go set up. I set up a Kitchen Sink. I think I have three or four people, because somebody wanted to give me money. They didn't want to sponsor my show, but they wanted to help support it. So they're doing that through Patreon. You know, you know, it'd be nice if, based on my download numbers, if more people donated, it'd be fantastic. But you know, I don't do that show technically for money either. I mean, I do make money on it sometimes, but that is a lead gen to some extent. I've gotten clients out of that show.
Okay.
So it has worked that way. We've talked about swag. I keep talking about, you know, socks. I don't know why. I like the idea of socks.
I like the socks too. Socks are in.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. So, like you mentioned, do we partner with a permanent sponsor?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we do. It's 2000. Yeah,
It could be like brought to you by.
Right.
If we were to do that sort of thing, like there's a chance that the show could change slightly. Like if somehow our show were like fully supported by a dedicated sponsor, we might not take the approach of like doing a commercial for them during every episode. It might be more like, this is brought to you by, or we may choose strategically to focus on things more relevant to that sponsor's audience also. I don't know.
It would come down to that relationship, for one. And for two, that minimum cost is $2,500 a month. FYI.
All right. Yeah.
So if you're interested in being a permanent sponsor, WP Engine or whatever. So, you know.
All that stuff is on the table. Yeah. Like, we don't really know. We have no idea how our listeners feel about this sort of thing. Like, are there people out there who would give a couple bucks to like support the show? Are there people out there who like, please don't have any more commercials? Are there people who like, I'd love to sponsor.
So that's interesting. So maybe this, become a Patreon for no commercials.
Okay.
Right.
If we get two people.
I mean, at a bare minimum, it's $15 a month for Libsyn. You know, and it doesn't sound like much, but again, you know, I run a small agency. You have a jobby, but you know, but it's one of those things. This is an expense. It's not a money making venture. It's a passion project. It's an expense that it's not killing me at the moment, you know, or you. So anyway,
a lot of the discussion that we have about the show comes up because I think this is like a personality thing for me. Because I'm always looking to do better and more. And anytime I feel not challenged, I start to get worried. Mm. Like I'm not being pushed. I feel worried about being complacent.
The difference between you and me on that is age. No joke.
you're probably older and wiser, of course.
Slightly. Yes, older, slightly wiser. But now I think so. I mean, I want certain things to be good as well and certain quality. But at the same token, since this isn't being attached to a brand of we're not, you know, if we're not getting 10,000 listeners a day or, you know, an episode, if it got to that level, then I would potentially have a different approach to it. It's a niche topic. Sure. It's a niche field that we're in. That kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So that's how I see it. Not that I don't want it to be good, you know.
I do think I just look like, is episode 80 way better than episode 60? I don't know. If I feel like it's not enough better, I start to get antsy.
I mean,
we should work harder.
Truth be told, I believe in my heart of hearts that after those, you know, first, let's say 20, 25 episodes, we got way better for one. And so, you know, from that point forward, I also believe that we don't always knock it out of the park, but you know, it happens, you know, it happens where, you know, some shows are gonna be better than others. Like this show is awesome.
Yeah.
last week with Dustin, pretty good. No, you know, it is what it is. You know, and it comes down to some of the questions that come in, you know, our prep time, because we are busy. You know, your job, child, I have the agency, I have, you know, children as well, you know, et cetera. So,
We both need to say no to more things.
I think so.
I think.
We joke about my ideas, but one of my main goals this year, I think I even mentioned it for the predictions, is to say no more. And so far I have. I mean, I saw a few things that popped up on the Slack channel for business WP the Business that were job ops. I didn't even look at them. Mm. I'm busy enough as it is right now, just trying to keep up with the handful of clients I have. Really am.
Yeah.
So I want to mention one thing here. I want to move the conversation real quick to you, your expectation of better and bettering, and and specifically your music.
Okay. Can I preface it with like my attitude and what I always say, and then you tell me your answer to it?
No.
All right. Good. All right,
I'll just tell you, your attitude sucks.
Okay.
People like your songs. I like your songs. I've told you a couple times it might need a different track. It's something this or that. We can't understand it because you jam through the lyric. But you shouldn't negate your own work on the air. If you want to negate your work, great. Because at the end of the day, it's not about you. It's about the song, about the listener, how they experience it.
Okay.
It's like when someone comes up to you at a conference and says, hey, good job on the talk. And you say, it was better when I practiced it at home. Well, you just diminished their moment with you.
I am not good at that.
I know.
I know. I'm not.
Again, it's age. It's experience. I say this from experience because I remember being in that exact spot about 17. Yeah, when Avalon was a baby, I was doing some stand-up. I did a show in L.A., and after the end of the show, it was like 1:30 in the morning. We're outside. A friend of mine, Jerry, who was one of my good sounding boards for comedy, literally... People come by and saying, good show. You know, it was awesome, Adam. Thank you so much. I'm like, no, I did. It was okay. I'll be better. I'll be back here in 2 weeks. Come back. At the end of that, about 15 minutes of thanks and stuff. Jerry and I go out to this place called Biff's. It's like a little diner. It's a total, no, I'm sorry. It was Dinah's. Total dive place for breakfast, for like a 2 a.m. you know, breakfast thing. And to kind of regroup. And I'm still amped up for being on stage. And he literally says to me, and I won't say the exact words because I don't want to have to bleep him out later. He says, like, what the bleep was that? I'm like, what? He's like, what the bleep were you saying? I'm sorry for. Come back in 2 weeks. And he had me in tears. He literally says in my face, it's not about you. It's about the audience.
Yes.
If people come up to you and say they like the show, good show, we loved it. Whether they're telling the truth or not or being polite, you just say thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that.
That's fair. That's fair.
I mean, I was crying. He had me. Yeah. I was crying, Kyle.
That's a great story. And a good lesson. I need to keep hearing this from you.
Okay.
And I don't know really what to do about it because I produce a lot of things.
Right.
And I can't help myself. Right. I get creative, I guess, and just like churn stuff out and things come out of me. And then I release it to the world and I don't polish it very much.
See, I give you props for actually taking the initiative to actually release it. I have a ton of ideas and I release about 10% of it because I'm afraid of the reaction when I shouldn't be. I should just let it go.
I just release it and then disown it.
Right.
Because I hate it.
You got to own it. Like Corey Miller told me.
I do.
Corey Miller told me at Cabo Press. I have the piece of paper. I look at it a couple times a year. He wrote it down, folded it up. Again, I was like crying because I was at Cabo Press. I was really intimidated by being there because I was still fully employed, day job, etc. And I was really intimidated. And he wrote a piece of paper and he said, open it when you're ready. I opened it like an hour later. Again, tears. And it just said, own it.
Mm. Yeah. Yep. I remember.
Yeah.
That's powerful.
It is. So
I'll take that to heart. And I think I just need to own it. One of the things that I do wrestle with is like, am I doing a disservice to our listeners by just like releasing stuff that to me feels like half baked? Like I never put in like more than an hour on any of them. They're just like, they're thrown together and I could put in another hour and like polish it up and make it easier to listen to.
But that's your decision, you know, and if either way you go, you have to be okay with it.
Mm.
You know, if you're not, you know, you have to let it go. Then if you want to make it happen, then take some more time. If that goes back to you spreading yourself too thin, then don't do it.
Sure. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I mean, if, I don't know, there could be songs on every episode of this show if I just had, I don't know, more time to put into it, right.
but it's okay.
Lowered my standards.
But that's okay. It's okay that you don't have a song every show. I think, you know, it's fine. If that's what if we got to that audience level, if we had that sponsorship level where we were generating income because the expectation was there, it'd be a totally separate and different conversation right now. You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think, you know, again, I remember we used to do three questions, right? One of the things we want to talk about real quick was innovating or changing things. I was really against changing that format, doing the three questions and then just wrapping it up. You wanted to add this quote segment. And I was saying, I don't know. I love our segments. I mean, I like our questions too. I like to have fun with them. It's the basis of the show. But I look forward to it. I love our segments. And I think that was by far one of the best things that you beat me over the head with. You know, like we have to do these are fun, these are great, and you know, we have them on the Trello board, and we still have some segments we've never done yet because we're trying to figure them out, right?
Right, Click and Clack would always have, you know, the Puzzler and Stump the Chumps,
right?
And their other,
right? So things. I just
make it a fun show,
right? I just think that was I didn't see that idea, I didn't even think about that idea when we first did it. I'm like, I didn't see that as an option, no pun intended, but. I'm so happy that we did it. I really am. I mean, I love when we do the segments. Certain segments are easier, if more fun than others, or prep. But it's by far one of the best things that we pivoted on, that we made that change. Lost a question, added a segment.
I want to really summarize real quick.
Okay.
You're right, though. Some of the other things that I wrestle with, and maybe we don't need to ramble on about them, but just these are things that are in my head that I struggle. Like when I think about the show, I'm battling about internally about this. One is like, am I really adding value, or am I just talking? Am I getting in front of this mic and just like shooting the breeze, or am I really helping people? Am I helping contribute to a show that makes people's lives better, gives like real advice that answers their questions? Sometimes I feel like I might not be. There are times where I think I am, and there are times where I think I'm not. And so I battle about that. Another thing that I battle with is, am I doing as much as I should be to help fix the diversity problem in our industry? Mm-hmm. Our industry, the industry that you and I live our lives in, has a big diversity problem. It's big. It's undeniable. And I believe that problem is really significant. I believe things need to be done to change it. It won't just like magically change itself. And I believe a lot of the burden is on people like you and I to do something because the industry favors us, I think. So am I doing as much as I could be to help with that? I don't really know. This is what I need wiser people's advice on the best actions I could take, but I don't feel like I'm doing as much as I should be to help with that.
Well, I mean, I will tell you this from the experience that I've had with Kitchen Sink. Every time I think like, who's listening? Should I still be doing this? Out of the blue, I will get an email or a tweet or something thanking me for the show. And that keeps me going for another 6 months. It's crazy. So yeah. If you listen to this, and I've heard people do listen to the show. I know friends of ours listen to it, and not just our core friends. Other people listen to it that I don't know who've heard of it, and they like it. You know, at a bare minimum, it's an escape because they know we're silly and they know we're sarcastic, you know, whatever it may be. So at bare minimum, it's an escape for them. So is that helpful? Absolutely. You know, sure. For one. In regards to the issue of gender and being white men and that issue, we've talked about this offline many at length. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't have an answer for that right now because actually we are at the hour mark, but I'm not sure what to do with that. I'm not sure what we can do at the moment in this show for that topic. I don't know. I mean, I think we obviously we're open to having non-male guests. You know, we've had that. You know, we have someone coming up. I think in a week we have a new guest coming on.
I think so.
Yeah. Next week, who is not male? Do we want to say who it is?
I don't know.
No, surprise. Come back next week. you know, so I understand where you're coming from with this, but I'm not sure that this show at the moment, again, at the level of our platform, I don't know what we could do yet. But right. It's an ongoing conversation.
Yeah, we are talking about it and thinking about it, yeah. and we do care, and we want to do something. We just don't know what
exactly. Yeah. So, all right, so
yeah.
Anyway, interesting segment. I get, truth be told, when you told me about this segment, like a week ago, I was hesitant, and yeah, I'm cutting this out. No, I'm kidding. I'm not.
Well, listeners, we do care.
We do. We do
this for you, I guess. I mean, we have fun doing this, and maybe we would still do it if nobody listened. I couldn't, because we just enjoy doing it together. But we really do want to know how you feel about. And this isn't even all the things that we wrote down.
Right. No, it was like
the things that we wrestle with and the ideas that we have. Like, how should we be consistent, or should we innovate and change things, or you know, should we work harder on prepping more, or all this stuff? Should we change how frequently we have episodes? All that stuff. Yeah,
there's
anyway.
A lot out there. But give us some feedback. You know, if you're listening to this, whether we know you or not, we need to know you're there. Just let us know. Yeah. So
whatever you care about. And do know that we won't get much feedback from this. So if you take the time to give us some, it will mean a lot.
Right.
You could be the only one who takes the time to email us and just tell us how you think the show could be made to benefit you more, or what you appreciate most in it.
What if we incentivize them? Like, if you give us feedback, we'll give you a puppy.
Well, maybe we'll thank you on the show or do something.
Actually, I'm just going to put it out there now as we wrap this up. You know, feedback here would be great, you know, and to us through the email, through all that stuff, or even on iTunes. Just going to say it right there, too. Because, so, you know, we want to serve you the best we can, so, and have fun with it at the same time. So anyway, we wrap it up.
Like Adam said, we won't do this particular segment very often, but it's a peek behind the curtain to understand how we think. And we want to know not just feedback, but also your questions. What can we provide our insight and advice on, and all the research that we do to try to answer these questions, it's pretty intense sometimes. We want to help you with whatever your problems are. You may have listened to some episodes of this show, and you may be thinking, the things I'm struggling with don't fit. Well, I encourage you to give us a try. We have diverse set of experiences, and we also have some really good friends in the industry with even more diverse experiences that we're going to be bringing on. They might have insights even beyond what we can bring. So whatever the topic is, send those questions our way. Questions at getoptionspodcast.com is our email address. You can go to getoptionspodcast.com, dump something in our contact form, or use the voicemail feature, and we'll play your voice on a future episode. Thank you.
And you can find us each online, Twitter primarily, at get_options. Kyle's over at Mr. Kyle Maurer. I'm over at Hey Adam Silver. We're on SoundCloud for Kyle's amazing music, and that's at get_options over on SoundCloud. Say goodbye, Kyle.
Goodbye, Dustin.
Leaving that in there.